Clap for Jesus, clap for Jesus. If you are victorious, rise to your feet and shout a big hallelujah. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah! What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah! Heaven and earth adore. Even angels bow before. I say, what a mighty God we serve, a living God. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, heaven and earth adore, even angels bow before. Oh yes, what a mighty God we serve. Father, we want to thank you because we are victorious. We thank you because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We have come before you this morning, oh Lord, to appreciate you, to thank you, to bless you, to worship you. For great and mighty things that you have done in our lives, in the lives of our sisters that have given testimonies. In the life of our brothers that have given testimony. Father, let your name be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Brethren, before you sit down, I want you to pray. I want us to pray. Just bear with me. Let's open our Bible. Because I want you to know that you are not alone. Deuteronomy 31:6. In any situation you find yourself, you are not alone. The Bible says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Can you imagine? I'm reading from New Living Translation. So be what? Strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Amen. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, I receive strength. I receive wisdom. I receive boldness. I receive courage to face the task ahead of me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Talk to God this morning. I receive strength, wisdom, boldness, courage to face the task ahead of me. Since you are already ahead of me, Lord, my victory is assured. I am victorious. I am victorious. In the mighty name of Jesus. I am victorious. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Say, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all that they were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with you, with thee, shall perish. Isaiah 41:10-11. There's assurance that it's going to be with you. Therefore, I receive the strength this morning. I receive wisdom. I receive boldness. I receive courage to face the task ahead of me. In life, in everything that I lay my hand upon. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Shout hallelujah. God bless you. Tell your neighbor, it is well with me. It is well with me. Very short message, but the title is The Lord of Hosts. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. And I want us to read together. Whatever version that is put on the screen, let's read together. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. Can we go together?
Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. 47. And for the battle is the Lord's. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This is not a new story unto us. We all know the story. You know, very common story. Right from when we were in elementary school, we heard about the story of David and Goliath. But what we want to point out this morning is the power of the Most High God. May the Lord open our eyes and our ears in the mighty name of Jesus. May the Lord open our hearts to discern his word more in the mighty name of Jesus. When you look at the United States of America today, it is the most powerful nation on earth. And its president, deriving from his or her title as commander-in-chief, has the authority to command the army to go to war with any nation that attacks them or is deemed to be an immediate danger, you know, to our access, to our interests, anywhere. You know, if you remember in April 2018, together with the U.S. allies, they carried out a series of military strikes against multiple government facilities in Syria. You know, and what was the Syria's offense that time? According to that, you know, to the allies, Syria was using chemical weapons against its civilians. You know, but there was no military response from Syria, because looking at the balance of power, it would be unwise for Syria to respond. So Syria did not respond at all. They just took the pain, weapons destroyed, cities destroyed, you know, and it went like that. What I'm trying to say here is that when power is greater than power, one has to give way to the other. For this, if you read that 1 Samuel 17, the host of the Philistines, captained by Goliath, it was their military pride. It was the most powerful fighter. It was head and shoulder above everybody. For days, he defied the armies of Israel, and Saul was too afraid to respond. Saul himself was not a short guy, you know. Saul himself, when he was being anointed as the king of Israel, the Bible recorded that he was head and shoulder above everybody. Big, tall, handsome. He has the energy. But it was a shy spray when Goliath came on the scene. And what was the reason? Saul must have evaluated his physical military infrastructure. He must have evaluated his own strength and the strength of the army and decided he has no chance against the Philistines, especially with the presence of Goliath. If Goliath is not there, okay, then we can do something. But with this thing I am looking at, there's no way going against it. You know, I cannot. Well, you will discover that Saul forgot that the strength of Israel did not derive from his physical army. Your strength is not from man. Your strength is not from your possession. Your strength is not from people, you know, that you want to rely on. You know? The strength of God, our strength, walking on the street, going in, coming in, going out, coming out, is from the Lord Almighty. And may the strength continue to be ours in the mighty name of Jesus. Saul forgot that the strength of Israel did not derive from that physical army that he was seeing, until this teenager named David came to the scene. No one in the camp of Israel remembered, or perhaps even knew, their main source of power. They thought the main source of power they were having was the shield, the bow, and the arrow, and the sword. You know, and many of us are in this position too. So they all kept quiet like cowards, too scared of imminent death. They couldn't talk. They couldn't do anything. Nobody can show up. Nobody can say, okay, I want to confront this guy. And the Bible says, day in, day out, for almost 40 days, Goliath was coming out, was speaking all this rubbish, until David came. And then he appealed to one that is greater than Saul, and that one that is greater than the army of Israel. May your appeal go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus. He appealed to the one before whom Goliath is a living dead. He appealed to Adonai, translated the Lord of Hosts. Hosts, not of earthly nature, but of heavenly angelic beings. Now, this does not mean that the Lord does not command human armies. Don't get me wrong. All beings are subject to him. But he often uses invisible spiritual powers to accomplish his goals. That was what David saw that the rest of Israel could not see. May the Lord open our eyes in the name of Jesus. May the Lord open our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. And when David saw this, he approached Goliath, you know, with the weakest physical weapon, a stone. He wasn't holding a sword. He wasn't holding a double barrel. There was no AR-15 with him. A stone. But that stone was backed by the strongest spiritual weapon. Look at what David told Goliath. That passage that we read. 1 Samuel 17:45. Only you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of who? The name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So what David saw was exactly what Elijah's servant could not see with his physical eyes. You remember that story too? 2 Kings 6, 8-23. The king of Syria will plan something against Israel. He will tell, you know, his army, we are going to do this and this and this. They will make it secret. But before you think about it, Elisha will have seen it and report to the king. So the thing will take, you know, measure and frustrate that king of Syria. It went in first time, second time, third time, fourth time. The king of Syria has to call his army. There is a fifth columnist around you, among you. There is somebody leaking whatever we plan here to the king of Israel. And they told him, no, we are not the one doing it. There is a prophet in Israel that is doing it. Okay. Once I know the source of my problem, then the problem is solved. He gathers armies together. Said, go and get him for me. And when they got there, we also know what Gehazi saw. He saw the physical army surrounding them, ready to be arrested. And he ran to his master. Read that passage when you get home. You know. But what happened? May our eyes be open in the mighty name of Jesus. May our hearts be open to the word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Elisha prayed for him. And what did he see? Horses and chariots. Angelic horses and chariots. Far more numerous than the one surrounding them. So, what we are seeing is that the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army to capture Elisha, for revealing his war plan secrets to the king of Israel. The army surrounded the entire city looking for Elisha, whose servant went out in the morning, saw the army, very frightened, quickly came back and reported to Elisha. And what was his response? Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, verse 16 to 17. 2 Kings 6, 16 to 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Even the king of Israel could not see it. The king of Israel did not see what Elisha saw. He only see things in the physical terms. This was the reason why when Elisha commanded blindness for the Syrian army and led them to Samaria, the king asked, my father, shall I kill them? Elisha was, of course, operating at a higher level than that of the king. Will you kill who? Those whom you have taken captive with the sword? And your bow and arrow? Eh? Did you take them captive? Set food and water before them, that they meet and drink and go back to their master. A lot of lessons there. You have not captured these people by your own physical strength. And then apart from that, we don't even keep prisoners of war. But show them, just as Jesus Christ has told us, your enemies, pray for them. Pray for them. Give them food when they are hungry. Water when they are thirsty. And in doing so, what do you do? Yeah. You put whole heap coals of fire upon their head. So until we children of God can see what David and Elisha saw in their encounters with imminent danger, we will continue to operate in fear, brethren. And so many of us, a lot of fear grip us in several ways. Some of us, anxiety over things that have not even happened. Just mere thinking about it. We cannot see ahead. God will open our eyes in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that as children of God, you will never operate in fear. In the mighty name of Jesus. Decisions taken based on fear are likely to be faulty. They are likely to be wrong. Why do we need to operate in fear when we can simply relax and trust God? Why do we forget so easily? I was discussing with a friend yesterday. I said, what I have learned in history is that men don't learn from history. Men don't learn from history. You just need to sit back and reflect. This is a situation that has arisen before. How did God deal with it? Eh? God solved that problem. Probably the prayer is just a one-sentence prayer. Okay? Probably the prayer was just a deep meditation. Probably it was just a deep cry of concern unto the Lord. And the problem was solved. Now another problem has arisen. You are forgetting that God was there before. We start having unnecessary anxiety. We start running helter-skelter. God will forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lack of knowledge as we know it is not a good thing. Many of us lack knowledge when it comes to the word of God. And we should try as much as possible to avoid this. So, until we children of God can see what David and Elisha saw in their encounters with imminent danger, we will continue to operate in fear. We will continue to operate in lack of knowledge of the host of angels that our God deploys daily to protect and support us. When we sleep, we are vulnerable, yet we wake up. Some of us will not even remember to pray while we are sleeping, before we sleep. Some of us will take a book and we say, okay, when I finish reading this book, then I will pray. Before you know, that book drops off and you slept off and you wake up in the morning and say, I did not even remember to pray yesterday. And yet we wake up. And then a little thing will now arise and we start running helter-skelter. May the Lord forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus. Our God is the commander-in-chief of the host of heaven and of earth. The President of the United States only has authority to declare war. The power to do so belongs to the Congress. Okay? The power to do so belongs to the Congress. So God is the only one who has power to declare war. He does not hesitate to do so against those who are set against you. I want you to know that. When you are in imminent danger, when in imminent danger, David and Elisha appealed to Adonai, the Lord of Lords. Who do you appeal to when you are in danger? Are you subjecting yourself to fear when you can simply relax and take actions instructed by God? The only thing is that that instruction might be so small, so very, very insignificant. But we'll be wondering, is it possible? Who are you? Do what God is asking you to do. Our God is the Lord of hosts. He is Jehovah Shabbat. His word is command. He speaks once and is heard twice. There is no contesting of his power. Our God is absolute. He gives men and people to save the lives of his children. He is our defense. You may not physically see it, but there's an army that is shielding and protecting you from danger every time. Be rest assured that the Lord of hosts will not leave you alone. Amen. No matter the situation, I am appealing to you. Please, no more fear, no more anxiety. Just be sure, in every situation you find yourself, whatever situation, go to him. Talk to him. Meditate on his word. Have faith. Believe him. Live in that strong faith that is always there and will always be there for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's be on our feet this morning. Let's be on our feet. Like I told you are not alone. I will never be alone in the mighty name of Jesus. But in order for God to operate on our behalf, there are usually divine instructions. Okay? Look at Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Say, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them about the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Mercy on others reserves and procures mercy for us. When you have mercy on other people. Being truthful builds our credibility for trust. When we are fruitful, when you are truthful, we bring credibility. We are going to pray, Father, let your word illuminate my path to success. Let your word illuminate my path to victory. Let your word illuminate my path to longevity. For it is written, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. Today, Lord, give me the grace to be willing. I receive the grace to be obedient to your word. In the name of Jesus, talk to God. I shall be willing, I shall be obedient, therefore I shall eat the food good of the land. I receive the joy, I receive the peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. I receive the quietness of the Lord upon my life, upon my surroundings, upon my territories. Because when God gives quietness, brethren, who then can trouble you? Job 34, verse 29. Absolute peace in the midst of chaos, tension, fear, anxiety, apprehension, trouble here and there, all over the world. Absolute peace can only come from God. He is our Lord of hosts. I receive that peace this morning. I receive that quietness of the Lord upon my life. upon my territories, upon my surroundings, in my home, in my marriage, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. David said, only but now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. I key into that word this morning. There shall be neither adversary nor evil occurrence in my life, in the name of Jesus. The peace of the Lord reigns in me. The peace of the Lord reigns in the life of my children. Wherever they are, wherever they are, the peace of the Lord reigns in the life of my children. In any situation where they find themselves, the peace of the Lord shall reign. Talk to God this morning. He said, worry not. One area for the Lord of Lord to operate in our life is to ignore worry. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? Nor yet for your body, what shall it put on? Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And then he went on in verse 32. Say, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. They are going to pray. I receive restoration of hope, faith, confidence, peace, and joy. Because I am here this morning, I receive restoration of hope, peace, confidence, joy. Every form of worry and anxiety is hereby banished from my entire life. Anxiety, worry is banished from my entire life. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I know God is speaking to somebody here this morning. In which area of your life you have that anxiety? You thought you have been defeated. You look at your situation, you think there is no hope. God is telling me, you this morning, that I am the Lord of hosts. Talk to God concerning those things. Speak to him. He will hear you. Cast your burden upon him, just as Peter instructed us. 1 Peter 5:8. He cares for us. We cannot, through anxiety and worry, add a cubit to our height. It's not possible. We just give ourselves unnecessary hypertension. Commit everything to the hand of the Lord of hosts this morning. And it takes control of your life. What are those areas? What are those things? Talk to God. Talk to God. He hears prayers. You will come back to testify. But you must rehearse it in his hearing.
In Jesus' name, we are prayed.
Amen.
Let's stretch forth to the pastor. Let's pray for more anointing upon him in the mighty name of Jesus. That Lord Almighty will give him peace and joy in the mighty name of Jesus. That every word that's spoken to us, O Lord, will not stand against him in the mighty name of Jesus. That Lord, the Lord will bless him and multiply him. More anointing upon him, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. It shall be well with him and his family. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.